Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to the career comeback episode number 9 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and fresh back from his journeys of the Orient, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I'm really well, Bruce. How are you?
Mate, sensational. That's you have a good trip?
I did have a good trip. It's a very interesting place, China, and I mean, it's the second time I've been there, but it was great to actually travel west across into the Uyghur Muslim regions that are closer to the Kyrgyzstan border.
Right.
And once you enter these areas, it feels like you're in a completely different country. There's no Han people, who are the majority people in China,
right,
or very few anyway. And you have these this contrast of this blend of people from, you know, your Arabic Muslim regions that sort of have come east, and the Chinese who've come west, and you end up with this interesting cross culture between, you know, Chinese and Arabic, you know,
yep,
cultures. It is fascinating. I'm speaking particularly of places like Turpan and Kashgar.
Okay.
Very, very interesting region, and some fabulous. I think my favorite photography of the whole time I was there was in these two little places, Turpan and Kashgar. If ever you get to China and you don't go to these two little towns, I think you're missing out on quite an experience.
So this is right over in the western side of China. Right.
Yes, it's over to the west. Kashgar is actually very, very close to the, you know, the western border. I think it's Kyrgyzstan, if I remember correctly.
Right.
It really is a very interesting little town. An unfortunate aspect, I think, of these places is that they are becoming more and more touristy. And the sooner you can get there, the better. Because even the famous Kashgar market, which they hold on a Sunday, and we were there for, we'd planned our trip around, is becoming more and more tourist-oriented. Whereas once upon a time, it was just this fascinating local market that sold everything, is now becoming a place where, they think tourists are coming, so they've got to set up this sort of touristy aspect.
Yeah,
it's slowly creeping in, and the sad thing is, this is what they think tourists want. No, tourists actually want what they started going there for originally, just the real
the culture.
Thing.
Yeah.
We went to the animal market, and that was quite interesting, you know, and the way they, you see the how they bargain and negotiate for flocks of sheep and donkeys and mules and horses and bulls and that kind of thing, and that's fascinating. And along the street in Kashgar on the Sunday is a very culturally, you know, stable or real market that we were there just after sunrise to photograph. And it's absolutely fabulous. In fact, anyone who wants to see photographs of my Silk Road tour can go to www.total-image.com.au/Silk Road. And Silk Road is just one word. No capitals, just Silk Road, one word.
And I will put a link to that on the Shutters Inc. page as well.
Terrific.
So people can link through to it from there. And, mate, there's some fantastic photos in there too. I've had a quick peek and,
thank you very much.
Some great stuff.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, look, it was a great... There were difficulties in China that I hadn't encountered with any other destination. The Chinese have a way of doing things tourism-wise that can actually make it very difficult for a photographer who at least isn't persistent to get behind the tourist wall. I don't think it's got anything to do with communism or politics, really. It's just that they have a way of doing things. They have a thing that they have things they think you want to see or that they want you to see,
right,
and money they want to make. You know, they want to take you to silk factories and carpet factories and all these kind of things. When really, you know, I just wanted to walk the back streets and see how people fix bikes and shoes, which is all the kind of things that they do behind that wall, and that makes China so fascinating, especially in these western regions that I was talking about. But even in a city like Beijing or Xi'an, these major centers, if you get behind the urban tourist wall, there are some fascinating things to see.
Mm.
My job on this photo tour, of course, was to make sure that, and this is why I was persistent, that we got to the photographic opportunities as best we could when we could. And so, yes, I was rather persistent because I had a whole group of people who'd entrusted their tour to me to make sure we were in the right place at the right time. And unfortunately, I did not always succeed. And that is, as persistent as I was, just the part, the aspect of China that if you go there as a photographer, you'll battle with just a little bit.
Right.
But I can't say that it didn't yield great photographs, because I'm very
absolutely
pleased with mine.
Yeah, I thought you did really well.
Thank you.
How did the people that went on the tour with you, how did they feel about it all?
I had a great time, and it was a good mixture, because we did do some touristy stuff. I mean, we did want to see some of the things people want to see, but we worked around that. We did that in the middle part of the day, usually. In the morning, we would go for a walk through a marketplace when the light was soft and warm. Then during the middle part of the day, we would travel, or we would go to somewhere where, well, the photography didn't really matter that much. If it was interesting, it was good, interesting, but, you know, there might have been ancient caves, or perhaps, some urban market, or it could have been, so many other things, but we do that in the middle part of the day when the light can be pretty hard, pretty contrasty, and you don't really want to photograph too much. Then in the latter part of the day, we'd be out again, as best we could, doing landscape work or, again, markets and people or back streets. One morning that I remember particularly was in Kashgar, when we went to an old region of the town, and we were there. The sun hadn't even risen yet, and we were walking the streets, just getting the very, very early glimmers of light. And people were already up. They were baking bread in ovens outdoors. You know, they were fixing and repairing things that they do. They were sweeping streets, and it's some of the best travel photography you can do. Is off the tour, out of the hotel early in the morning, and just walk the streets. The one thing that always fascinates me as I'm leaving for a destination is this mindset that people have when you travel outside Australia. And they say to you, even as you're getting on the plane, be careful, be safe. Mm. And I must admit, I've walked through back streets dripping with Nikons and lenses, and no one's ever wanted to bother me. And you may think that's naivety on my part or whatever, but I must admit, I just enjoy interacting with the people. I I don't do anything stupid. But that's the time when you are basically getting your best photographs.
Yeah.
It's when you're there interacting with the people, using sign language, pointing the camera to them, whatever, to get a smile out of them, and getting your best photographs.
And off the beaten tourist track.
Yes. The people that you want to photograph. People are the essence of a destination, I think.
Yeah.
And you'll see that if you have a look at the photographs that I've taken.
Yeah.
And you don't find them. The people you want to photograph are not in expensive hotels.
No.
They're not on your bus. They're not, in tourist museums and locations. They're in the back streets. They're in the marketplaces. They're working. They're feeding their families. They're getting about their daily lives. And, it's a hard balance to find between being obtrusive but trying to also be a photojournalist, being respectful, and yet you're being obtrusive at the same time. So employ a sense of humor, employ a certain level of humility, and if you have to be maybe even a little bit candid, hide behind something with a long lens if you've got to. But the people are the essence of a destination, and that's probably the thing I enjoyed photographing the most.
You've just reminded me, a couple of years ago we went to Fiji, and we stayed at a place called Deneroe Island, which is out on the west coast of the main island, just out from Nandi. And to get into town, we could have quite easily taken a cab, which would have just driven straight along the bitumen road into town, which was only a 10-minute trip.
Yeah.
But we chose to get on the bus. And
oh,
this
excellent.
Bus winds off the road, round all these dirt tracks, through all these little humpy villages where, these guys are living in, sheds made out of corrugated iron. And you just saw so much culture there that if you'd been in the taxi, you wouldn't have even known was there.
Yeah.
And, you just reminded me of that.
This morning that I'm speaking of in Kashgar was probably one of the highlights of my trip and probably yielded some of my best photographs. Was a 10-minute walk from our hotel.
Right.
And we literally walked down the road and we turned left and there we were in this old region. And, do that. A lot of people, when they travel, they go on tours. And to be honest with you, when you're traveling in a country like China, where there's all sorts of barriers, language barriers, cultural barriers, all sorts of logistical barriers, you do want to be either on a tour or to have a tour guide or a guide of some kind with you. You can't you know, I think if you wanted to be a photographer and just backpack through the place, you'd have a horrendous amount of, you'd waste a horrendous amount of time just getting your accommodation and getting onto a train or whatever. You really do want to be looked after to a certain degree. And to be honest with you, I do like to have a comfortable bed at the end of the day. But get off the tour. Don't follow the little guy with the flag. Don't follow the little clapping guy all the time. Get off the tour. Grab, like you say, a bus. Grab a taxi. Go for a walk. And don't be afraid. Because, you know, you can walk across the street getting into your car and bad things can happen to you.
That's true.
Don't be afraid when you're in a foreign country because you just miss out on so much. And, you know, people essentially, you find out when you travel, everybody's pretty much the same. We all just want to feed our families and we all just want to see the world a better place. And there's only a very small percentage in any population that would want to do you any harm for any particular reason. And we unfortunately have them in this country too. So, you know, don't be afraid. Get out there with your camera and take some pictures. I think, as I said, people in any destination, they offer so much to the travel photographer. They're not only their faces, and in places like Kashgar, the faces are fabulous. Old bearded men and, you know, with hats and costumes. And there's a photograph you'll see if you go to this website of a fellow who's laughing into my camera because we're all taking pictures of him. And he's got this, you know, front tooth missing. He's got his lined face.
I saw that.
And he can't believe that we're standing around asking if we can take his picture. So he's just burst into laughter and you'll and then I've got the follow-up shot is him just standing there, you know, and I've taken a very sort of soft light portrait of him. But it's those moments that you capture that make it worthwhile. And you've got to seek these people out. They offer you so much as a photographer because people bring with them, you know, their face and their costume and their context, and their context is interesting, you know, where they work, what they're doing. Perhaps they may be involved in a local event, a local craft. They may be wearing something that is culturally specific to a particular region. They may belong to a particular ethnical group. And so much of what you capture in a person can tell you so much about a location. We often tend, when we're out as travel photographers, to think, well, it's all about the landscape. But it's not, you know, it really isn't. It, a country certainly does have its own landscape. And photograph that wherever possible, of course. But interact with people as much as you can to get probably what I think are the most magic of any travel photographs you can. People doing what people do, creating a culture and creating the reason that you have traveled to that country usually in the first place.
Words of wisdom from the Confucian master, Shelton Muller.
Actually, I didn't hear anything about Confucius while I was in China. Isn't that interesting? Confusion? Yes. But not much Confucius, unfortunately. I also just wanted to recommend, if you're taking your SLR with you, and that's what, you know, this section's all about, I just wanted to give you a rundown of the gear that I took and why I took it. Have we got a couple of minutes for that?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, naturally, I had two bodies. I had a film SLR and I had a digital SLR. I like to shoot both, and it's a good safety measure, you know, really is, to have both under your belt. I carried two SLRs with me all the time. On one, I had one of my favorite lenses, and on the other, I had another one of my favorite lenses. And usually it meant that I had my new Tamron 11-18. Zoom with me. Oh, fabulous lens. Nice. Listen, if you're shooting Minolta or Konica Minolta now, if you're shooting Canon or you're shooting Nikon, you've got to go out and buy yourself one of these Tamron 11-18 lenses. They're fabulous. They gave the equivalent in my Nikon of about a 16.5 to 28 mil zoom. So great for travel photography. And the great thing about that lens is that you can be actually up close to something. Let's say, for instance, you're in a marketplace and there's a vendor there selling oranges or fruit or fixing shoes or whatever he might be doing. You zoom in really, or you move in physically rather, really close. And the vendor thinks you're photographing his product, but he doesn't realize that your wide lens is including him as well. And you've got this sweeping contextual wide angle portrait of the whole scene. And it's a great way to capture even candid portraits of people, but also great for landscape work as well. The other one of my favorite lenses, well, it was one of two that was on the other body, and that was my 85mm 1.8, which was fabulous for low light work, for portrait work, for candid work, or my 80-200 2.8, which again, for the same reasons, was on the camera. It's great zoom, great for candid photography. 2.8 aperture meant two things: minimal depth of field to highlight the subject, but also great in low light work. I don't think I ever actually took it off 2.8. And one of our travelers, Boris, who was with us, great guy, always wanted to borrow the lens when he found out how good it was. I also took with me the Nikon 18-70, just as a sort of medium-range zoom, which was very, very handy. And I took a Nikkor 300mm f4, which I used also for a lot of candid work. Being an f4, you could hand-hold it, and it really knew how to pick people out of a crowd for great candid shots. Yeah. The mystery camera that I was talking about a few weeks ago, the Sony, I also took that, and that served me in good stead. There was one morning in Turpan when I just walked around in the early morning light with that camera and that camera alone, and some of the photographs that it gave me were just fantastic. You'll see on the website a photograph of an old man standing in a darkened street, just rim lit, and the morning light is just catching his beard and the rim of the light of his face, just the outline of his face. Well, that was taken that morning with the Sony, as is one of the shots of a lady in her own butcher shop, and so it was great to have a little sort of carry around digital camera that was all in one like that as well. I took a tripod with me, of course, which we use from time to time, and a flash, which I also use just a little bit every now and again, but not too much. And they all went into my low pro backpack, which enabled me to carry it from location to location. But when I was actually in the street or in the marketplace, I had everything in my Thomas Cook photojournalist's vest, which was very handy.
Right.
Made sure that you traveled, it felt like you were traveling light when really you were carrying a fair bit of gear. So that's just a brief rundown on the tour and how I managed, but we can, we can talk more about some of the more specific things in weeks to come.
Sure. Okay, one last thing I'd like to throw in before we sign off. I've put a survey up on the audio2.com website. It's available via the homepage on the right-hand side in the news section. You'll find a link to this survey. We're not asking for any personal information like email addresses or phone numbers or anything like that. It's just generic demographic data, and it's all laid out on one page too. I just like to stress that you don't have to cycle through 20 pages to fill out all the questions. It's all just one page, one submit button, and you're done. So dear listener, if you have 60 seconds of your life that you can spare us, it'd be a fantastic help and very muchly appreciated.
Helps us to help our listeners a little more, doesn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, it just will allow audio2.com to continue bringing great quality podcasts to you in the future.
Which is what we want to do, isn't it?
Absolutely. All right, Shelton, thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
And we'll talk with you next week.
Looking forward to it, mate. Thank you.
No worries.
See you soon.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Audio2u delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear
when you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
audio2u.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark
audio2u.com.